love you.
Welcome to Salcedo Paranormal. Excuse me. It is Wednesday, March 29th, 2023, and today I am covering paranormal news. As always, you can find all the links to the shows, along with links to social media and ways to donate. I'm sorry, that's not really part of the thing. Ways to contact me at the podcast page. And, thank you, Jay. And that is salcedoparanormal.podbean.com. That's SALSIDO paranormal.podbean.com. Always happy to hear from you all, whether you have comments or questions or topic suggestions or stories of paranormal experiences, whether they're your own or from others that you trust. Happy to either read those or have you join me on the show to talk about them. And if you enjoy the show and would like to support it, there are a few ways to do that. Of course, sharing it with everyone that you think may like it would be great. Also, I do have some paranormal fiction and nonfiction books out there on Amazon that you can look into. And then I also have donation pages as well, ways to donate to the show. If you would like to check any of those out, that is in a pinned post here in this Discord channel. And then I always include those links in the episode descriptions for the podcast and YouTube feeds. So I believe that covers all of that. I am going to take tomorrow night off in preparation for the schedule change that I'm going to do, just because, again, I explained it the other day, but there's a show that I really like to listen to that may end up going later into the night than it used to, and rather than miss that show or have to leave during that show, I'm going to just push my show back earlier into the night and do it before that show starts. So, and of course, that's the usual show. Roundtable shows may still be different times and days, depending on the schedules of the people involved. But for the shows that are just me anyway, those will definitely be at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, every Saturday through Wednesday night. So new time, but same show basically. So I think that covers everything. So with that, I think I can get to the stories here. Of course, I found these the other night when I didn't get to do a show. So these are old on top of old now, but oh well, that's okay. Going to this first story here. This is from, let me see here. WOMIO Winsboro? WOMI Owensboro, I'm not sure, .com. And the title says, Haunted and Historic Indiana Mansion hosting open house history tours every month. And so this is talking about a place in Indiana. It's known as the Historic Hanna Mansion. It's located in Indianapolis, Indiana. And it was built in 1858, the mansion here that's talking about. And it's known as the Hanna Mansion or the Hanna House, is what this article is talking about. It says that according to their own website, urban legends claim that the owner of the house, Alexander Hanna, took a strong stance against slavery, and the house was part of the Underground Railroad. Now, it says that is part of the urban legend, so I don't know how much actual evidence there is of that, but it says that, unfortunately, of course, as with a lot of these places that are said to be haunted, they have stories of tragedy that explain the hauntings. And so it mentions that a group of slaves are passing through Indiana as they were, and then through Indianapolis, and they stopped at this mansion, and then, let me see here, there was a fire that happened in that night, And so, let's see here. So, yeah, there's apparently victims of the fire there, according to the legend. Says that there are many claims of paranormal activity in the house. People who drive by also claim to see an older man in the window waving as they pass. I wonder, and it mentions this as well, could it be the original owner, Alexander Handel, Hannah, excuse me. Anyway, it's one of those nights. So it's, of course, it's talking about tours, and let's see here. Looking at the, so yeah, they just talk about tours and the hours and all of those things. So, and it goes on for, to more other topics here in this article. Mentions other haunted places in Indiana. So, quick article, but still always neat to hear about these places that are, that offer tours and chances to check out the place and see how you feel or if anything, if you sense anything or see anything or hear anything, always a good thing to try that out, I think. As long as you're respectful and everything, of course. So, moving on to the next article here. Let's check on the chat again. Let's see here. Okay, checking the chat. That's weird. I wonder why. I don't know. Moving on to the next article here. This one is from Cat Country 1073. And it says, the title says, the most haunted field in New Jersey sits right outside of Philly. I don't know what Philly they're talking about. That's Pennsylvania? Anyway. Says that, now this is an amazing thing here. Apparently there's a legend about this. Let's see here. Am I thinking of the right one? Okay, so this is, the place that is associated with the lake is called Red Bank Battlefield. And it's a, Revolutionary War battlefield. And so, it took place right next to the house known as the Woodall House. And so it mentions that you can see the field directly next to the house. So it says that the house was reportedly built in 1748. And it says that what makes the house and the field so creepy is that a lot of course, it was a battlefield there. So the house was actually used, and the property was used as a hospital for fallen and wounded soldiers. Mentions that since then, there are many people that have reported sightings and other things happening there. Let's see here. So apparently a group of paranormal investigators went to see what they could find while there. And they talk a little bit about that here. One of them, basically they got this feeling that they weren't alone. And so let's see here. Doesn't go into much about the, apparently another person there swears that they had their arm grabbed by an invisible hand. So let's see here. So yeah, it's but the idea of there, the fact that it's near a lake is also, I always wonder about that. It seems like there would be, that's a lot of water going through the lake there itself, and then also probably through the ground. And so I wouldn't be surprised if it was had activity there. So, and it talks about let's see here. Apparently, there are also ghost children seen there. That's kind of weird in a way. And apparently, they can be seen throughout the house. So, but doesn't say much about the origin of that sighting. So, but as I always say with kids, when there are sightings of kids, you know, It's yes, in a way, it is sad if they are spirits of kids that have passed on. But if they're in a place, if they're seen at a place where they enjoyed themselves, if they were in a place that where they were happy, that might be some kind of a version of an afterlife for them right in that place. So it might not be a haunting in the negative sense. It's just they like that place and so they stay there. Not necessarily talking about just this house, but just any time when you have sightings of children in a place. So just wanted to bring that up. But let's see here. All right, so moving on to the next story here. This one says, or this one is from LoneStar923, I'm guessing, .com. And it says, see inside this scary abandoned hotel in Beaumont, Texas. Now, most of this article is just pictures, but it talks a little bit about the history of the place. Apparently, this was obviously once a beautiful hotel. It did become a retirement community for a while after that, before it was abandoned for quite a while. Apparently, to this day, I'm guessing here. So it says that the hotel was built in 1922. It took 277 investors to raise the $1 million needed to build the 250-room, 11-story building. It mentions, of course, that that would equal almost $20 million today. And so let's see here. It doesn't talk a lot about the place being haunted, but it's more of just that, I guess, in the pictures of the place as it is now. And there are a lot of them. And I always wonder, I think we've talked about this before in the show, with these places that are like that. Are they seem to be, if you look into them, I'm sure, I can't imagine this one will be much different. If you were to talk to people in that area, I'm sure they would tell you stories about people that they know or themselves that had experiences in or around the hotel with the paranormal, because it seems like places that are abandoned, they do draw people there. And I really wonder how that works. Is that because of the history? Is it some kind of a way that the spirits may communicate with people to somehow suggest or draw them in there, even if it's only temporarily, even if it's just to sort of interact with them and or take whatever energy these people are giving off, not even necessarily in a negative way where they're taking it without taking it so that it harms the people, just sort of an exchange. I wonder how often that is the case. And so that's why I wanted to bring up that article here this time. So let me see here. Have a couple of Texas stories here. Also a couple of lake stories in this show. This one is from mix979fm.com. And let me see here. This one says, oh, this is what I was thinking of earlier. That was not what I thought it was. Or anyway, this one says, no way, the most haunted lake in America is in Texas. True creepy story, it says. And this is something that goes back even into mythology, this idea of figures, and especially ladies in lakes or around lakes. And apparently the one that is seen wandering around this lake is seen walking around the lake crying. And it's apparently, this is in Dallas, and it's said to be the most haunted lake in America. Says that there's a legend associated with this lake, and it's that it's a ghostly figure that haunts White Rock Lake Park. And there's a couple of stories that says that are talk about this possibly who this is. But the things that are they have in common is that a young lady dressed in a beautiful white dress has been spotted by two different couples in the 1940s and 50s. And, of course, as the stories go, of course, hopefully these are just stories, but you never know, the couples approached this figure, and as this ghost approached them, she asked for a ride, explaining that the boat she was in overturned, and she needed a ride home. So the couples agreed to give her a ride home, and she gave them an address and got in the back seat of a car, soaking wet also. And so the couple turns to talk with her as they're driving towards this address that they gave her, she gave them. And of course, when they turn to look at her to talk, she's not there, but the seat is still wet where she sat. So it's a vanishing hitchhiker story here, but it's one of the more rare ones where there's actual some kind of evidence. So they, according to the story here, a middle-aged man met the couple at the door because they kept on driving to the address given, and informed them that his daughter had passed basically by drowning in the lake 2 years before when she fell off a pier at White Rock Lake. So, and again, I've heard similar stories. This is not an uncommon type of story here. So, so let me see here. Yep, the idea of Haunted Lake is, but it's so common. That's the amazing thing is. But this one combines another common thing that I've talked about before. I think I even did a show on this, which is the whole vanishing hitchhiker situation there. So I hadn't heard that before. That's two different sort of types of stories that are together in this one. So anyway, just wanted to share that one and see what y'all thought about that. And yeah, it does seem like lakes should be more peaceful than that, but you never know. So let's see here. I have two articles left here, and so I'll go through these quickly. This next one is from techbullion.com, and it says 11 tools you should consider taking with you. Taking along on your next ghost hunting trip. So this is mainly for when you're going to try basically paranormal investigations. And a lot of these I'd heard of before. Flashlight, which is said that you can communicate with spirits that way by having it set to turn off or on just by a touch. Which, of course, there's a lot of debate over that. How much of that is real or how much of that is just other factors making the flashlight turn on and off. Another one it says here is the ghost box, which is the radio device, the sweeping radio station object or tool that people use where they hear voices and or get phrases from the sweeping across the radio stations. Talked about this in the last, I believe it was the last news show that I did, a similar story. Mentions a motion detector. I've seen those before. Those are really neat, especially when they go off and there's no one moving around them. So I'm just going to skip through some of these here. One here that I was surprised at, but it makes sense, I guess, in a way, is a tape measure. And it says that you can measure the dimensions of rooms, doors, furniture, and objects. And it's also helpful to know how long a thing or a person is, or how tall or wide, when standing still. So I guess it's mainly for trying to figure out if you see or you see something, then you can try to figure out where exactly it was and its dimensions by using a tape measure and then maybe someone else standing in for whatever you saw. And try to figure things out that way. Mentions binoculars and telescope. So basically more things to look through. Thermal camera, EMF gauge. A lot of these things are pretty common, but the tape measure I thought was really neat. And then the motion detector. I think that's an amazing tool as well, in a way. Mentions a journal here, which I like. And I guess as long as you can see what you're doing in it, or writing in it, then it probably works pretty well for taking down times of things and maybe thoughts or impressions. So just a neat little article sort of about, indirectly about the whole paranormal investigation process. So, and since we did start a couple minutes late today, I think I have time to go over this last article here. This is jumping away from the whole paranormal investigation topic, but still something that's always need to consider. And this one is from KnowInsiders.com. That's KNOW. And it says, facts about the existence of giants on Earth. And so this is all about basically archaeological evidence of the existence of giants. Let's see here. So it goes into detail about some places and objects that have been found and archaeological sites here. So let's see here. It goes into a lot of details about some different places. I won't go into that, but I just always thought the idea of giants was amazing. And you hear so much about things being found in places and then those things vanishing. Or that objects are found in a place, but then turns out after people are pretty sure it was a hoax. But I always wonder if there ever was actual giants, not just the people that are maybe 7 or 8 or 9 feet tall, but bigger than that, what they would look like. And just that whole topic is something that's, I think, could be a lot of fun to look into sometime. So, and I'll let you all check out that one. There's a lot of reading in that article. So, yeah, so that's basically all I had for today. So I think we'll leave it at that. Again, I'm going to take tomorrow off, just to get myself a little break before the new schedule starts. And it'll still be Saturday through Wednesday, and but it'll just be at the shows. The live streams will be at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, and that's of course not counting any other roundtable shows or special shows that I do that involve others that may need to be at different times for them, because people are always busy, and I understand that, so always happy to work with others that are going to be guests to find times that work for them. So thank you all for listening, and sorry for the my sort of distracted frame of mind tonight, but thank you all again, and I'll be back on Saturday sharing true paranormal stories from the web on the next episode of Salcedo Paranormal. Take care, everyone.